God, we thank you for your presence. We acknowledge that you are in this room. And we pray, Lord, that as we look at your word today, that you would move in a supernatural way. Speak to our spirits, Lord. Speak to our situations. If you agree with anything, you can say amen.
Amen. Yeah?
But before we ask you for anything, Lord, we want to thank you for everything. You are a good God.
Amen.
We thank you for your sovereignty, that you are in control of every single detail of our lives. We thank you for your majesty, that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no other name higher than yours.
Amen.
And we ask you, Lord, as we look at your word today, that it would leap off the screen. That what we've been praying for and yearning for, Lord, you would give us direction, encourage us, comfort us, uplift us. Give us revelation and insight, Lord, into situations and things that we don't know what to do about. But you do. You are in control. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us. Any sin that's separating us from you, right now with humble hearts, we say we're sorry. We surrender, Lord, to your will, to your ways, and to your timing in our lives. We trust you. And we thank you in advance for whatever you want to do today, Lord. We give you full permission. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. You can grab a seat. Grab a seat. I always love the second service. It's one of my favourite services. Don't tell the first. Yeah? Don't say it to anyone. The title of today's talk is Got to Have Faith. Got to Have Faith. And I was speaking to someone in the church during the week. And I was saying to them, I'm speaking on Sunday. And they said to me, what song are you going to sing, Dara? They didn't ask me what word I was going to speak. They wanted to know what I was going to sing, which I thought was very odd. And if you don't know, I love music. If a song comes on, you're going to hear me singing it very badly. I'm not like Mariah Carey now. Or you'll see me dancing. I love music. And who's up on the screen today? Do we know?
George Michael.
George Michael. Any fans? Any Wham fans? Wham Bam. Thank you, ma'am. No? A few. And he had the song called Faith. Do we know it?
Yeah.
Is it internationally known?
Yes.
Gotta have
faith,
faith, faith, faith. I gotta have
faith,
faith, faith. You know you gotta have faith, faith, faith. Okay. It's like a bad night at karaoke here this morning. That's all right. But we know the song, Gotta Have Faith. Now, he was not singing about the Lord. He was singing about a lady. So it wasn't faith in God. But for us, brothers and sisters, as Christians, you've got to have faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You've got to have faith. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We are looking at the Old Testament today, one of my favourites. New and old, I love both, but I love the old. And we're looking at a miracle this morning. And it involves a prophet called Elisha and a woman, a widow, and she needs God to speak to her. And she needs Elisha to tell her what to do. Because in the Old Testament times, God spoke through prophets. Whereas the good news is today, God can speak to you directly. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to read. So God, we pray that you would bless your word here this morning. Amen.
Amen.
So we're reading 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Here's what it says. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha. This is the prophet who God speaks to. And she cried out, my husband who served you is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil. Hallelujah, she replied. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, Every container was full to the brim. Hallelujah, amen. What a God we serve. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God, Elisha, what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe God has given me some insights on this word that I want to share today. So some of this is teaching and preaching, but there's also very specific prophetic words from God. So if you have been praying to God over the last few days, over the last few weeks, I believe God wants to speak to you. God is a God of clarity. He's not a God of confusion. And he is a God of miracles. Do you believe that your God can do miracles?
Yes.
Amen. We got some people of faith. You've got to have
faith.
You've got to have faith. So I'm going to look at five things briefly today. And my prayer is this, that one of them, if not a lot of them, would speak to your situation that you're in. Amen. So here's the first one. Know where to go in a crisis. Know where to go in a crisis. If I was to ask my teenagers downstairs, I'm not in our youth group this morning, our youth church, but if I was to ask them what a crisis is, they'd probably say their phone was taken off them, and they lost internet connection, and they can't get the latest shoes. Their definition of a crisis would be very different to yours, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Their perspective can be very different. Some people, a crisis is their football team loses the whole season. That's a crisis. Others, like us ladies, sometimes a crisis is a hair crisis, isn't it? A bad hair day, ever have that? Wake up and I'm going, what is going on with my hair? It's like a frizz ball. There's no taming it. That could be a crisis. But they're all silly stuff. That's not real crises. But can I encourage you today? Can I uplift you with the word of the Lord? If you are in a crisis this morning, you're in the right place.
Hallelujah.
You're in the right place. God is here. And when you're in a crisis, you need to know where to go. And we see this woman is certainly in one. And I just want to break down the seriousness of what she's going through. Because when we read it, you can skip some of the parts of her life that are struggling. So we know her husband is dead. That enough is a crisis. That enough changes your whole life. But hallelujah, we know that her husband feared the Lord. And it said that he was working with Elisha as well. So he was a man of God. And here's what I know. Where there's a man of God, they're usually married to a woman of God. And where there's a woman of God, she's usually married to a man of God. If you are single like me, anyone else single?
Yeah.
Okay, tell the truth and shame the devil. Oh, no, girl, come on. If you're a woman of God, you're a man of God. You know when someone loves the Lord and you know when someone doesn't. You can smell it and sniff it out. And you know, when we do happy birthdays, when I get my fella church, when I get the ring on the finger, I'm going to be up here giving him a big sloppy wet kiss and you're all going to be celebrating, aren't you? You're going to be, yes, Pastor Dara, finally, the drought is over. Come on, girl. You're laughing, but it's my life, too. Oh. But he was a man of God, and I think she was a woman of God. That's what I think. But we see too that their family's in debt. They have no money. And because they have no money, her two sons are about to be taken as slaves. And this is completely legal at the time. So she has no legal rights. So there's people knocking on her door. Her husband is dead, saying, you owe us this money. And if you don't pay it, we're taking your two sons. And then finally, in her society, she's worthless. And she's going to be destitute. Women had no legal rights back in this time. It's not like today, like Beyonce and Adele and all those beautiful women. It's not like all of us women raising together. You didn't have anything. She's worthless. But she's not worthless to the Lord. Hallelujah. But this is her crisis. So not only has she lost her husband, she's about to lose two sons, and then finally she's potentially losing her livelihood, her life. That's a crisis if I ever heard one. But But here's what we see. She knew she needed to hear from God in her crisis. She couldn't hear from God herself, but she went to someone who could. And when you are in a crisis, or I'm in a crisis, if you can't hear from God, you need to go to people who can. You need to go to people who can pray for you, amen?
Amen.
You need to go to people who can give you biblical wisdom. You need to go to people who might hear from God and maybe, just maybe, give you an instruction that will lead to a miracle from God. You have to be so careful who you listen to in a crisis. Because when all hell is breaking loose in your life, we're not very good at making great decisions. We go to the wrong people. We go to the wrong places. We make wrong choices. Where do you go in a crisis? You're in church today. That's a good place to be. But all the other days of the week and hours of the week, sometimes we just make silly decisions. Sometimes we go to our friends. We go out to the girls and we have a glass of wine and we have a gossip. Or we go with the lads and we gamble and we have a joint. Or you stay in work and you work it out. Or you go to the gym, but it's overworking in the gym. Or you don't eat. Or you overeat. Or you lock yourself in your room and you take to the bed. Or you're out running the roads. You're running all the time. Maybe you're shopping and you're buying the shoes and the bags and the clothes and the car. And you're getting more in debt. Where do you go? Brothers and sisters, we always need to go to the Lord first. Go to God in prayer with everything. The Bible says, pray about everything. Be anxious about nothing. So when you are in a crisis, and even when you're not in a crisis, be aware of your triggers. I'm not listing all of these things to shame people. I have them too. But if we don't know how we react when we're not at our best, when things are wrong, that's exactly when the enemy gets us. He gets us when we're tired. He gets us when we're overwhelmed. He gets us when we don't know where God is at times. And that's why you need to hear from God and be around the people of God and listen to what God has to say. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Here's the second point. What do you have? We read, what can I do to help you? Elisha asked the woman. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil to your plate. Now, here's what stood out to me. We know this woman is in the middle of one of the biggest storms of her life. We know this woman has no money. And Elisha says to her, what do you have in the house? Now, if that was me, I'd be very offended. If Elisha said that to me, I would have told him a piece of my mind. I would have used some very colourful, foul language at him. And it wouldn't be Pastor Dara. It would be Dara from Carrigaline, where the fiends are fine, from Cork City. It wouldn't be nice. And if it was someone that you know who was in that position and they lost their cool, you can't blame them. Or maybe my response would be to shut down, to walk away, and just say, what a waste of time. Where's God in this anyway? But this woman's response is a woman of God's response. We see her being honest, and we see her being humble. And what's her response? Nothing at all, except. If she had left it at nothing at all, the miracle would not have happened. For this miracle to happen, we see she has to ask Elijah what to do. She has to ask for help. But secondly, she has to look at what she has already. And here's what God spoke to me on, and I believe this is a very specific prophetic word for people. There's people here, and you're struggling financially, and it's struggling to put food on the table. It's struggling to feed your family. It's struggling to pay the bills. And I believe the Lord would say to you, what do you have? And you're looking at your life and going, God, I have nothing. But God wants you to look at it again. Look for the exception. Because what we think when we have nothing, but God always uses something. We think we have nothing, but God always uses something. This woman thought the oil was nothing. Maybe you need €1,000 to pay the bills and feed the family, but all you got is €10. That's something, isn't it? It's given to you by God already. And when I was praying to God about this, he showed me in this miracle that it's a miracle of multiplication. He multiplies what is not enough. See, we don't need miracles if you have enough. If you had the answers, if you had the money, if you had the resources, you would not need God. But you need a miracle. And sometimes we have to be honest with the Lord and say, God, I feel like I have nothing, but here it is. But I'm willing for you to multiply it. And we see these miracles of multiplication in the Bible. We see it with Jesus. He feeds the 5,000. He has how many loaves? Five. Come on. And how many fish? And he takes it and he breaks it and blesses it and it multiplies. That's to feed 5,000 men. That doesn't include women and children. It was not enough. And they had to hand over what they had. But God multiplied it. He did a miracle. We see Jesus do it with the feeding of the 4,000. And we see in the Old Testament that it happens too. There's feeding of 100 men. They take bread and corn and it's multiplied. We just read about the widow's oil. The oil was not enough. And then there's another one in 1 Kings, a widow. And the prophet Elijah goes to her and he says, can I have something to eat? And she says, all I have is a bit of flour and oil at home. But it's not enough to make anything. And he says to her, make me a cake. Now, whether that was Victoria sponge or chocolate, I don't know what type of cake it was. But he says, make me a cake. And he says, if you do, the flour won't run out and the oil won't run out until it starts to rain again. So whether the miracle was for one person, like the widow at Zarephath with Elijah, or it's thousands of people, it's all the same principle, and it's this. The miracle multiplies after we give it to God. Whatever you have that is not enough, it's when you give it to God and he takes it, it's out of your hands, hand it over, and you give it to him, that's when he multiplies it. And then he gives it back to you. That's what our God does. Hallelujah. The miracle multiplies after we give it to God. The book of Proverbs says, the world of the generous grows bigger and bigger. The world of the stingy, people who are tight, grows smaller and smaller. This is a biblical, spiritual principle. If you need a miracle in your life today, and specifically for those people financially, if God has told you to do something with your money, maybe it's to buy a meal for someone and you're struggling to put a meal on the table. Maybe it's to give the 10 euro when you need 1,000 euro. You do it and you watch what God does with it. It's a miracle of multiplication. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's number three. Don't focus on the wrong thing. Does anyone wear glasses? Where are my four-eyed people?
Yeah.
No, I'm very blind. I'm just going to be honest. I need glasses all the time. So if I wake up in the morning and I don't put on my glasses, I just don't focus on, sorry, the clicker is going mad. Can you put it back on the side for me, lads? That's all right. Back to the focus one. Yeah, perfect. No, back again. Thank you for coming to Grace.
This is live TV.
This is live TV. And I'm going to drop the ball and I'm going to pick it back up and we're going to carry on. Hallelujah. But for me, with my glasses in the morning, it's not that I focus on the wrong thing. Sometimes I can't focus on anything. It's just all a blur. And for us brothers and sisters in our lives, when God is moving, we can get focused on the wrong things. And we read in the scripture, and Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbours. Now, if you borrow something, what do? You have to give it.
Thanks.
Okay. Here's what the Lord showed me, and I was going, this is mad. We know this woman and the situation that she's in. So she had to go to Elisha for help. He's telling her now what to do, which is go to your neighbours and friends and ask for empty jars. So if I'm borrowing this empty jar, I'm going to have to give it back, and I'm going to have to give multiple explanations to my friends and neighbours about what is happening. Now, we know that the miracle has happened. We know how the story ends. But this woman doesn't. This is purely a step of faith. And if I was one of her girls, if I was one of the bestie boos, the best friends, and she came to me and told me what Elisha said, I'd be going, girl, you're crazy. He making you look like a fool. You're going around to Rebecca next door, who hates you, shouldn't even say hello, and you're going to ask her for empty jars. You're going to go to Mrs. Murphy across the road, who doesn't pay her estate fees, so we can't get the grass cut, and you think she's going to give you something. And you're going to tell everyone your business. Nah, girl, that's not it at all. That sounds crazy. Would you not be the same? No? Only me, only me. Sounds mad. And for this woman, this widow, I wonder what she was thinking. Because if it was me, and I'm having these multiple conversations, and I'm going, I'm borrowing these jars, I have to give them back. What if God doesn't move? And I have to give them back, and I'm going through everything that I'm going through, and now I have to be humiliated by a friend or a neighbour saying, did your God move? Did he do what he said? And I have to hand multiple back at multiple doors to multiple people. Or was she a woman of God? A woman of faith? And as she was collecting the jars and them going, girl, you're crazy, going, yeah, watch what God does. Imagine her handing back the empty jars after the miracle and saying, the oil was in all those jars. Look how God moved. You thought I was crazy, but God did it. Look at the overflow. Look at the abundance. I'm not in debt. My sons aren't slaves. Look how the Lord moved. When God does a miracle in your life, it is always bigger than you. And that's part of the reason why you have to ask for help. Because it glorifies God. It gives testimony to God. Because everyone around is going, that's not going to happen. But when God does it, it has to be him. They have to acknowledge him. So brothers and sisters, in your miracle, in asking for help, in borrowing things and giving them back, and you might be embarrassed, it's going, no, God is going to move. And am I willing for God to use me and to be a testimony of what God can do in my life? People said there was no way, but God made a way.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And one of my questions was, where's the oil going to come from? See, we're focused on, in this passage of scripture, Elisha saying, get these empty containers. But if it was you or if it was me, Elisha, you're telling me all these things. Where is the oil coming from? Because my oil is not enough. Collect all these empty jars. Where's the oil going to come from, Elisha? And maybe it's the same in your life. Maybe you're talking to God today and you're saying, God, how are you going to do it? How are you going to provide for that, Lord? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to live? How are we going to get through this? Where is the money going to come from, God? Maybe that's your question. It's not the oil, but what are you going to do, Lord? And here's the key. We focus on the supply, but God wants empty vessels. Your focus is on the practical, and what you need to focus on is the prophetic. You need God to move. And God wants empty vessels. And you know what's empty vessels? It's us. It's allowing God to use us.
Yeah.
The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The empty vessels, the empty containers, that's a symbol of you and me. So when God is doing a miracle, you might be focused and be logical and going, this is not adding up. God doesn't want you to be a problem solver. God wants you to trust him. And to go, okay, God, here I am. And that's what we focus on. If you're praying for a miracle today, can I redirect you and refocus you? Stop looking at the practical. Because some people here, you've looked at it to death. You know the numbers. You've done your Google reviews, your TripAdvisor, you've done recommendations, you've done it. You've done the maths. And God is saying, you need to start looking up.
Yeah.
Change your focus.
Mm-hmm.
Stop focusing on the supply. The fourth one is this. Shut the door behind you. Now, when I was growing up living with my parents, I would leave our doors open a lot. And they would say to me, are you born in a barn? Anyone ever hear that before?
Yep.
Are you born in a barn? And in my parents' house, when I was living with them, Mum loves the story, don't you, Mum? You loved it in the first service. I'm going to tell it again. I'll tell it again. In my father's house, Their internal doors are all glass, so you can see into every room. Now, why you would want that, I don't know. So when you shut the door, you have no privacy. Upstairs you do, but downstairs you don't. And when I was living with my parents, I'd be in the living room, sprawled out on the couch, watching television, half falling asleep, the drool coming out, my hair all over the place, one eye open, and my mum would just look at me through the door. And I'd wake up with a start. So there was no privacy. So I'd be shutting the door at my parents, but they were still looking at me. Do you miss me, Mum? She missed me terribly. Will I move back in with my parents?
Yay!
Division in the church. I'm a wrestling. Shut the door behind you. We read. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Not once do we read that this widow asked Elisha a question. She didn't question anything that he said. If it was me, I would certainly be questioning him. She did as she was told. But here's what we see. For the miracle to happen, it wasn't this woman just praying at home. She had to go ask for help. And we saw she went to Elisha, saying, what do I do? We see that she goes to her friends and neighbours to collect these empty containers. And then we also see that she gets the help of her sons to do this. So there was lots of people involved already in this miracle. But when the miracle was in motion, and she's pouring out the oil, she goes into her home and she shuts the door. When God is moving in your life, you need to be very careful who is speaking to you, who is seeing what's happening. And when a miracle is in motion, you have to have people of faith in the room with you. We see it with Jesus. There is a miracle where a little girl is dead and he goes to her house and there's people mourning, crying, wailing. And he says to them, she's not dead. She's just asleep. And they laugh at Jesus. And he sends them out of the room. And who he brings in is the little girl's mother, father, Peter, James, and John. He doesn't bring all the 12 disciples in. It was only people of faith. That's in Mark 5. And we see in the book of Acts, Peter and this woman, Tabitha, who's a woman of God, and she gets sick and she dies. And he goes to visit her. And she's on her deathbed, she's dead. And there's widows crying, grieving. And he sends them out of the room. And then he raises her back to life. When there's a miracle happening, brothers and sisters, you can't have everyone in the room. You can't have all these multiple voices. And I believe the Lord would say to us today, it's time to set boundaries. And in our culture, we're going, I'm all boundaries, all boundaries. That's for me, that's for you. You don't do this, we do that. The boundaries are your phone. Someone texts or calls and you're back to them straight away. Or in our wider families, we can have people who are emotionally immature or toxic. And they set the whole tone and dynamic. So when granddad is angry and comes into the home, we all have to walk on eggshells. Or someone is controlling and manipulative. You can't have those people around when God is doing a miracle. You can't be looking for answers for God and then are people who are bringing anxiety. You can't. And brothers and sisters, you need to set boundaries. There's some people outside of your home, outside of your inner circle. Do life with them. It's not having a major conversation. But when it comes to the things of God, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've got to be very careful who's in your home. You've got to be very careful who's speaking into your life. And what you do need is you need people of faith. You need people to say, girl, this is crazy. I don't know why we're collecting these empty vessels, but I know God's in it. So let's pray about it. Let's fast about it. Let me help you do it. That's who you need in your life when you're praying for a miracle and God is working it out. Amen?
Amen.
That's who you need. And you mightn't have the faith, but they might have the faith. It's time to set boundaries, brothers and sisters. I believe that's a specific word from the Lord for people today. If they left the door open and the neighbours could look in the door and comment, or the friend could say, what are you doing? You're doing that wrong. The miracle wouldn't happen. They had to shut the door. And the final thing we see is this: faith and obedience. We read, her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Hallelujah. When God provides, it's not a trickle. It's not a spit. We have a God of overflow, don't we? Full to the brim. Come on, people of faith. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. Here's what we see. Elisha never said to her, bring 100 jars home. He never gave her an amount. The amount given was based on her faith and her obedience. The miracles in your life, the blessings in your life, brothers and sisters, sometimes they're based on your faith and obedience. How big is your God? And we're asking for small things and small prayers and, God, just give me this. And you're going, God can give you all of it. God can do overflow. God can do abundantly more than you can think and imagine. And it's not just her faith of going, I believe that God can do this. And we all have that. If you're in the room today, you're probably a person of faith. But she was obedient. You have to put in the work. I can't be at home praying for my miracles in my life and I'm not willing to go out and work with them. We have to partner with the Holy Spirit. So we can come here on a Sunday morning and say a prayer, hallelujah. Amen. It's literally my job, I'm all for it. But when you go into the rest of your week, you have to work. You have to ask for help. You have to seek the Lord. If he's told you to do something, you've got to do it. You have to work in partnership with the Holy Spirit. But some of your blessings and some of your miracles are small because your faith is small and because your obedience is small. What she got was based on how much faith she had and how hard she worked. Imagine you're looking for finances and you're praying for a specific amount. God can do that. But maybe God wants to blow your mind. Maybe you're praying for a home and you're just saying, God, if I can get a room somewhere. Maybe God wants to give you a house. Maybe you're praying for a scholarship and you're going, I just need this amount. And God is going, let me pay for the whole thing.
Amen.
The whole years.
Amen.
We serve a big God. And so many of us, we got the faith bit, but you got to put in the work. You stand wherever you're at. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up in a moment. And we're going to sing that Alpha and Omega song again. But I was in this morning at 6:30 in the church. Hallelujah. And I was praying over this room and I was praying over your seat. God is here. Do you feel him? Do you sense him? And when I was praying for this part, the ministry part, initially I thought it was for us as pastors to anoint you with oil, to give you a blessing. But God spoke very clearly to me. It's not for us as pastors to anoint you with the oil. It's for you to pour your oil. And the oil is the symbol, like this woman, of what you have, which is not enough. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you need God to bless and multiply what you have. I can pray for you. I can pray over you. But I can't do the work for you. It's your faith. You can't get to heaven off my back. I can pray all the blessings in the world, but if you are not obedient to God, it doesn't work that way. We see it in scripture time and time again. I'm a person of faith. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. Walk it out. Work it out. And God will put the people around you. And here's what I want to do today. In relation to faith, you need a miracle. You want God to bless and multiply the little that you have. It's not enough. It's never enough. Otherwise, we wouldn't need God. It keeps us humble, brothers and sisters. But as we come up, you're going to see these little vials of oil. And it represents what the widow did. It's saying to God, here's my oil. Here's the little that I have, Lord. But I'm giving it to you. And I'm going to ask you to pour it into the bowl. And it's just a symbol. But it's handing it over to God. And our prayer is this, that God would multiply what you poured out in faith. That's the prayer. So I'm going to ask you if you would like to do that in a moment, just to come up and do it and pray over the oil. And we're going to worship. Do you want to share that?
Yes. I have to share this. I didn't share it at the 10 o'clock meeting and we were crowded, but I know God has spoken to me. Two sons were going into slavery. There are two sons represented here, and today's your day of freedom. Amen. Today's the day God is going to set those two guys free. Not daughters, sons. Does anyone have a bit of faith for that prayer?
Yes.
I don't hear an amen.
Amen.
Just before you come up and do that, you might be the son. Or you might be the mother or father. But all last night I heard the word jubilee in my head, which means deliverance, freedom, blessing. And so can I grab 1 minute and just say, if you are a son or you are a parent, what's the slavery? Probably an addiction or probably a toxic relationship where she will destroy the guy. Can I ask everyone to close their eyes just before I hand back to Dara? Are you that son? Or are you the parent of the son? With nobody looking, would you lift your hand to heaven and represent that son? Or be the son and hand it over, hand yourself over to God. I see your hands. Come, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Like you delivered those two sons from slavery, let this be a jubilee day. Let something happen in the spiritual realm. Break the addiction in Jesus' name. Remove the manipulator or the toxic relationship. And let these boys, these young men, go free today. In Jesus' mighty name, and God's people say,
amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to sing the song Alpha and Omega. If you want to pray that prayer of faith, come on up. And then we're going to close in prayer overall. Come on up.
Omega, we
Hallelujah. The Lord is here. Amen. Just as people are finishing up, we're just going to do a closing prayer. Do you want to lift your hands wherever you're at? Let's be humble towards the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you that whatever we give to you, and we do it willingly and humbly, that you take it and you multiply it, and you graciously give it back to us. We thank you for the blessings in our life. And as we poured that oil, Lord, that symbol of it, see our hearts, see our hands, God. We pray that the oil of your Holy Spirit would drench every single part of our lives. Drench from our heads to our feet in health, Lord. Give us good health in our bodies, in our minds. We pray that you would drench our homes, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. That the oil would overflow into everything that we do. Drench our finances, God. Drench our futures, Lord. Do only what you can do, God. We are people of faith. Help us to stay focused on you. And most importantly, Lord, we have the faith. Help us do the work. Help us to be obedient. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. We want to be the workers in the house of the Lord. God, we pray that all the blessings and miracles that we're praying for right now, that we would be able to stand in the house of the Lord and give testimony. Look at what God did. There was no way, but God made a way. It was impossible, but God made it possible. I don't know how I survived, but God is making me thrive. The blessings of God rain upon our lives in Jesus' name. And we pray against any attack of the enemy. And we claim the authority that we have in the blood of Jesus. Satan, get behind us. Get out of our homes. We shut the door on any nonsense, on any doubt, on any confusion, on anxiety, on depression, on poverty. And we claim it in the name of Jesus that we are free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God, we trust you. It's all yours anyway. Nothing is ours. So we give freely to you, Lord, what you've given to us. Bless our week ahead. Put your angels around us. And keep us safe until we meet again. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Amen.